This is All Things Considered. I'm Noah Adams.
And I'm Robert Siegel. Gimmicks for getting rich are a familiar part of the American landscape. While visiting California in February, roving correspondent Bob Garfield discovered a new one. He was scanning the classified section of the Los Angeles Times and spied a provocative two-line ad. In five brief words, the ad described an urgent need for growers. Growers of a commodity you wouldn't think there would ever be an urgent need for. He answered the ad, beginning what would be a strange odyssey of hopes and dreams and extravagant claims. The promises were of both fabulous wealth and environmental salvation. For those whom Bob Garfield encountered along the way, the outcome remains in doubt.
The ad was in the business opportunities section of the classifieds. It said, earthworm growers wanted huge profits, $$$$. Then a phone number. So I dialed in and reached an outfit called High Hunter Industries, where a fellow named Bill Block told me an astounding story. The great High Hunter, the Worm King, 6 decades in the earthworm business, was coming out of retirement, not just to help folks make huge profits growing earthworms, but also to preserve the environment, to double the world food supply, to do nothing less than save mankind. It was an enticing idea. I was in L.A. with some time to kill, so that very day I ventured out to Hunter's home and headquarters in suburban Granada Hills. There I strolled down a path dotted with giant statuary beside the lobster pond and into his sprawling ranch home, over the creek running through his kitchen and up a winding steel staircase to Worm Central, a cluttered office with brown patches of mastic on the sheetrock where the L.A. earthquake had rattled wall-to-wall mirrors into shards. Bill Block was busy working the phones, but it took a moment to explain how a small investment in what he called the intestines of the world could not help but rapidly multiply.
Well, earthworms double every 2 months. You've got 500 earthworms. 1 month, you got 1,000. In 2 months, you got 2,000. In 4 months, you buy the breeders, and you hold them for 6-7 months. Let's see, if you got 10,000, you go to 20, you got 40, you got 80, you got 160, you got 320, you got 60, you got 500,000 worms in less than a year.
And you sell them to who?
You sell them for the landfill people. You sell them, the landfill people right now are needing billions of earthworms.
What he referred to was California Assembly Bill 939, mandating a 50% reduction in solid waste to the state's landfills by the year 2000. Among the ways to reduce organic waste before they ever reach the landfills, it turns out, is to feed them to worms. Yes, to simply let nature take its course, not only taking these organics out of the waste stream, but yielding worm excrement called castings, a rich natural fertilizer. So to hear Bill Block tell it, there is a sudden demand for billions of earthworms, and therefore for thousands of enterprising earthworm growers. The phone calls, responding to the same ad I saw, rang through regularly.
Okay, earthworm growers, huh? Okay, your name, please? Okay. Every day the phone rings with people like yourself. We have a 6-acre ranch up here in Granada Hills. Everything is organic up here. We grow tomatoes as big as grapefruit, and they taste like tomatoes, man. Where are you from, anyhow? What part of the... Okay. What kind of work do you do? A machinist? Okay, do you have a backyard? Do you own your own home? Okay, you qualify.
Block is voluble and very enthusiastic. High Hunter is world famous, he tells people. A real estate tycoon, he says, on the board of lots of major corporations. In Block's estimation, High Hunter is just short of being a Christ figure, an environmental messiah, performing the solid waste equivalent of turning loaves into fishes. So I was naturally keen on meeting the man, which, soon enough, I did, in the greenhouse out behind the garage. Blinded with diabetes, Hunter is an unhealthy 70-year-old who looks like a healthy 50-year-old, with thick white hair and a pink baby face. Inside the greenhouse, he dug his hand into a container of what looked like potting soil.
It was all garbage. And if you look, you can see that it looks like dirt. That is...
There's an earthworm right there.
Okay, this is earthworm castings. And people think it's black dirt. It's the finest fertilizer in the world. I can grow vegetables twice as fast as a farmer, 24 hours a day.
That's why he's excited. That's why he suddenly revived a business that had been all but shut down, selling growerships like he hasn't done since the early 70s. He is a man with a vision of environmental revolution, a sort of annelid alchemy, not loaves into fishes so much as garbage into gold. He imagines turning landfills into theme parks, a sort of Six Flags over refuse, and he wants you to join him.
I'm the most knowledgeable person in the world today in earthworms, or we call it vermiculture. And if people will listen to me, we can change the world.
Garbage into the world's finest soil. Is this a fairy tale? The answer is, not necessarily. This is Canyon Recycling in La Jolla, California, just north of San Diego. Here each day, 100 tons of yard waste and scrap lumber are ground up, separated, cured, and spread out in 18 verma conversion windrows. Trucks water them daily, but other than that, nothing is done to the mounds but the addition of thousands upon thousands of earthworms. John Bierman, manager of Canyon Recycling, does what vermiculturalists love to do. He grabs me a big handful of crud.
This is a combination of green waste and manure, and we slurry it into about a solution of about 70% moisture, so the worms like it moist. And then we feed it on the beds with this side discharge truck here. There's our workers. I just picked up a handful of manure and green waste in my hand, and I'm going to let Bob smell it here, and you can tell me what it smells like.
It smells like nothing.
That's right. The beauty of earthworms is when they get into the waste medium, the microbial populations that work in concert with them, they go right for the worst smelling material, and they mitigate it real effectively very quickly, within 24 to 48 hours.
Then, after 30 to 45 days, it's just a question of running the material through a worm separator, bagging the castings, and selling them as Vermigrow brand organic fertilizer at up to $120 per ton. Money to accept the green waste, money per bag to sell the byproduct, and all the while, the workers are multiplying like crazy. No wonder entrepreneurs have pricked up their ears.
Gotcha.
This is the home of Eric and Debbie Wendt in Fallbrook, California. Eric's friend and longtime employee, John Roundtree, is visiting with his wife and baby, and it's a homey scene. Two lovely families with small children and big dreams, distinguished from other middle-class Californians only by having 100,000 earthworms out in the backyard. Eric, 36, and John, 35, all of a sudden are ranchers in a big way. All because, as John recalls it, he saw a newspaper lying in the street.
I picked it up, looked down and started looking through the classifieds, happened to see that there, called him up, and here I am growing earthworms.
Yeah, he hit me with this, and it was like, wow, what are you talking about, earthworms? I knew nothing about it, absolutely nothing. And so we just got into it as far as the numbers that you need to make a profit. What we did is we bought a distributorship, which gives us an area in which basically we control. And within that area, we are the only ones who can sell this worm.
They paid High Hunter Industries $15,000 for an exclusive distributorship and 100,000 head of worm, now grazing out back in a greenhouse. But in 8 or 9 months, they expect to have 750,000 head and a quick return on their investment, even though Hunter does not guarantee he'll buy any worms back.
No, there is no guarantee, and the reason for that is that he's got to get into a whole new set of contracts to be able to guarantee something like that. It has to do with a lot of things, and I'm not really sure. That did not bother me getting into this business, because on my own I did some research just talking around, and I'm totally confident I can get rid of all of them myself.
What did your wife say when you said, "Hey, guess what, hon?"
Yeah, that was an interesting evening.
We said, what? You're going to invest what into what?
But, you know, after they explained it to us, it seemed to be a pretty good idea. And so we stand behind them. We think it'll be fun. It'll be a good adventure.
And the time is now. I mean, we're alive now. We're pioneering now. It's, you know, we can't ride wagons across the Old West anymore. So we have to take what we have, make it better and make it usable, make it feasible.
There's only one problem. It may not be feasible. Experts in vermicomposting seem to agree that for now and the foreseeable future, there is no burgeoning market for earthworms in landfills or anywhere else. Canyon Recycling, for instance, is running unprofitably at half capacity, despite experienced, well-capitalized management with understanding of receiving, production, finance, maintenance, permitting, and marketing. It isn't making huge profits because, according to state officials, there are no huge profits to make.
Well, there seems to be an underlying assumption that earthworms are the single key to California's solid waste problems, and that's not the case.
Wesley Chesborough is chair of the California Integrated Waste Management Board, which is actively encouraging individuals to throw their kitchen waste in small garage worm boxes, but in no way envisioning large-scale statewide vermicomposting. At best, he says, worm ranching will be one of many methods used to reduce a fractional part of the state's waste stream.
I don't see it as emerging as the, even for organics, as the, in the near future, as the central solution for organics.
Well, I sounds a little bit dubious to me, to say the least.
Clive Edwards is professor of entomology at Ohio State University and probably the world's foremost academic authority on commercial vermicomposting. He's generally bullish on various pilot projects around the world, but he says that right now there is no industry to speak of and certainly no pent-up earthworm demand. To him, claims to the contrary are eerily reminiscent of the mid-70s, when a vermiculturalist named Ronald Gaddy ran a combined pyramid and Ponzi scheme with earthworm profits as the bait. The network grew to more than 10,000 mainly West Coast investor growers. Then, in 1978, a can of legal worms opened, and the annelid pyramid collapsed.
It's not the first time that this sort of operation has been marketed, and it's not turned out very well in the past, in my experience. And in fact, it's turned out very badly once or twice. So I would have some certain reservations about that market being there.
Ominous warnings or no, High Hunter's salespeople are having little difficulty selling growerships and distributorships to eager entrepreneurs. In May, 3 months after my first visit, I returned to Hunter Industries, and I hadn't even gotten out of my car when I saw a growership deal on the verge of being closed right in the driveway. The salesperson was High's niece, Holly Hunter. The prospect's name was Vicky Schaffner.
So how close are you to getting involved in the worm industry?
Well, you have to do as close as you can get without
you
doing
do
it.
A little research.
Are you impressed with what
yeah,
you've seen?
I really am. Holly seems like a very nice person, and I agree with organic fertilizers and our problem of landfills. I've always liked worms.
And she seems to like worm ranching, at least more than previous investments in gold mines, oil wells, even an ostrich farm that never quite fulfilled its promise.
Yeah, I'm a risk taker. There's an awful lot of people that are afraid to do anything that sounds the least bit offbeat. And I always investigate everything. Why not? One of these times something's going to work. I like the worms. They seem like actually the best, at least the initial.
The initial
investment is not huge, and that's nice. That sounds real good to me.
To buy into a business that's going to be good for the environment as well as for your pocketbook, per se, this is probably the least amount of money I've ever seen to get involved in a business. To double your original investment after 10 months and the second year make $20,000 to $30,000, if not more, depending on how aggressive you want to be.
A few minutes later, I ran into Brian Lehman, whose brand new worm bin was being loaded into his pickup truck.
It's not a lot. It's not a big investment, actually. I just forked over $5,000, but I'm sure that I should be seeing that back very quickly, being a distributor. Just to do what I just did, set people up and into start them into the growing into this business. Everybody thinks it's a great idea. Now it's just a matter of convincing them to go ahead and take a little bit of risk and get in where the market is.
You want to finance it through Beneficial?
Well, we don't know if we want to spend that much money yet.
Well, if you want to be a distributor,
Even as Lehman drove off with his worm bin, High Hunter's brother Luther was pouring it on to sign another couple to a distributorship deal. And it was a scene to behold.
Well, I have to crawl first, though.
Well, if you want to crawl...
I always suggest that.
At the 2,000 level.
I always suggest that.
All right. That's 10,000 worms. What I would suggest, if you're going to do it, to do it at the 2,000 level.
Yeah, that's about best.
Because you're going to be in 10
That's our average growers.
You're going to have 300,000.
As it happens, 2 weeks ago, Luther Hunter left his brother's company in pursuit of a sexier opportunity. And promoter Bill Block last week followed him out the door, leaving others to assume the mantle of salesmanship and exaggeration. For instance, High Hunter isn't, as Block told me, a real estate magnate. He freely admits losing a fortune speculating in real estate. And he isn't on the board of lots of major corporations. He's on the board of zero major corporations. And if he's world famous, it somehow slipped past the attention of who's who. But he did make a big killing in worms back in the late 60s and early 70s when pyramider Ron Gaddy built his great invertebrate Cheops. But this time, High says, the gigantic market is really and truly there, no matter what red flags the naysayers raise about demand.
I get that question every day, Bob. I don't think in your lifetime that we could ever grow enough worms to satisfy the demand to the garbage dumps alone for recycling. And I really believe this, that earthworms are the salvation of mankind. Right now, we're entering the earthworms and the enzymes into toilets, human toilets. So there'll be no more sewage, which is remarkable. We also, in Australia, they've been experimenting feeding contaminated waste, heavy metal, to earthworms. And they'll eat a certain percentage of it, and then they'll stop, and then they'll eat other organic material, and then they'll come back and they'll eat contaminated waste, and their excrement is pure. It's the finest fertilizer with no signs of, you know, hydrogen or atomic material at all that they've developed.
This enzyme will break down heavy metals and radioactive waste?
Not the enzymes, the earthworms. What do you do with contaminated heavy metal or materials that, you know, that are been spiced with atoms or hydrogen bombs or something like this? I think that the worms can dispose of it, and we're working on that right now.
Earthworms neutralizing enriched uranium. The more you talk with High Hunter, blind visionary, the more you wonder what will become of all the people investing $2,000 and $5,000 and $15,000 at a pop. And more. Way more. Meet George Bodlack as he drives me in his pickup to the Temecula, California home of his very own brand new Ecology Farms.
I have been in construction as a builder of a single-family homes. I've been involved in manufacturing of automotive aftermarket products. I have been involved in recycling of plastic waste. Made a living, unfortunately, in most of these situations, I end up working for the banks.
And why is this one different?
This one is different because the market is endless for the end product of our operation, which is the composting worms. The demand for worms is going to skyrocket. The golden rule, he who has the gold rules. And I feel he who has the worms is going to be in the driver's seat in a very near future.
His spread is on 6 acres, now home to a mere 148 worm bins, each the size of a big footlocker. Soon, however, Ecology Farms will have 1,000 lockers full.
So the total capacity of the bin population is going to be close to 500,000 pounds of worms.
when they fully mature and breed, propagate.
So how much money do you have invested in this operation to date?
Right now, about $50,000, and to bring it up to a full capacity, it's going to be at least tenfold, 10 times that much.
$500,000?
Yes.
Is there a Mrs. Bodlak?
Yes, there is.
And what does she have to say about all this?
She thinks I'm nuts.
I wouldn't necessarily bet against George Bodlak. Some people will make money as worm ranching slowly takes hold, and it may well be him. Or not. The point isn't whether this venture is finally the one that frees him from his bankers forever. The point is, he's trying, daring to dream. Maybe, he says, it's an impossible dream, a futile, quixotic tilt at a windmill he mistakes for financial destiny. But maybe it isn't. And if it isn't, well, then the worm turns.
Give you an example. When Henry Ford came up, he's going to manufacture cars, some people told him he's crazy because people were driving around on horse and buggies. So there is a certain amount of risk involved in every business. There are no guarantees that you're going to go into a business and you're going to be successful. I believe that right now we are on a threshold of industry that is going to explode. It's an industry that's badly needed. And I believe I'm in the right place at the right time. We know the market exists. We know the market is there. We know the need is there. We know the waste is there. All we know is we need the worms to make this work.
I'm Bob Garfield.
It's All Things Considered.